Radio Days Africa podcast is brought to you by the Vids Radio Academy. Radio Days Africa 2020 is about to go live.
Panel discussion of the annual Radio Days 2020 conference. And I'm joined by the Deputy Minister of Communications, Binky Kekana, the Rock FM Station Manager, Ike Musia, the Executive Director of the South African Community Radio Forum's Provincial Secretary, Raymond Mujabilo. Now, as you may know, community radio stations are an important contributor to the three-tier broadcast landscape in South Africa, with well over 10 million listeners every week. However, their existence has been characterized by existential challenges that have gone on for quite a while, right? The global pandemic couldn't have been much easier as well, creating or highlighting some of the challenges more blatantly. We have invited the panelists today to unpack some of these challenges and possibly through this dialogue, come up with solutions that could help probably move this sector forward and maybe come up with contributions that could make the sector a bit more viable than it has been in the past year. I, as you might know, this is new territory for everybody else, including myself, and I think conversations online have been quite challenging. Notwithstanding the digital divide that exists from communities, I am coming all the way from Eloli, and with that said, there are some connectivity issues that we might be experiencing, so please bear with us. I want to take this opportunity to thank all our sponsors and for affording us this opportunity. Without further ado, maybe let me just introduce our panel and maybe start first with the Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister Binky Kekana, how are you? Minister? Hello? I think there might be some technical challenges there, maybe, or let me just start. I think everyone else is having challenges with audio. Raymond, are you able to hear me?
Yes, Zandy, I can hear you.
Great, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And how are you doing?
Great, thanks. So maybe just to start us off, obviously, I mean, you sit as a secretary of the provincial structure within the community radio landscape. Maybe you could just give us a bit of your assessment of what the sector looks like and what have been some of the highlights that you've experienced working in the sector and what have been the lowlights.
Okay, good afternoon, Zandy. Good afternoon to all the attendees. And before I go further in with my remarks, I must just say today, simultaneously on the other side, there is a memorial service of Mr. Karabo Makwibele, who was quite a pivotal character to the community radio sector from the GCIS. It is with at this moment an honor to have this session, especially because I would understand that he would have loved to see this kind of things happening, and he was passionate about the sector. So it is quite an emotional day for the sector itself. Sincere condolences to the family and the colleagues, and may his soul rest in peace. With that said, I would say that the community radio sector has been one of the most pivotal ones, especially considering the fact that its proximity to the communities where they are broadcasting. And despite the fact that from time to time it suffers to be painted with the same brush, all of them, the smear of the unprofessionalism, and infights and so on and so forth. And those are some of the historic challenges that the sector has met. This, although we are not saying that they are all eradicated, but then there's been some progress made. As one person would say, that there are 10 steps forward and perhaps 11 more backwards. The progress is seen. As we see now, there are a number of stations that are emerging, those that have been consistent in delivering to their communities. The number of stations that now can be able to say we are compliant, the number of stations that can be able to say they are seeing growth in terms of audience, the stations that are saying that they are closer to the departments or municipalities where they are working. The sector itself is, raking in a number of audiences, and I'm sure we'll delve much deeper into that as we go. It is also one of the highlights, the number of people who are now today in commercial radio or in the public broadcaster who come from this very same sector. People who have been passionate for years and they've honored their craft to a point whereby they were able to be noted and to be absorbed. So there are a number of highlights and there are a number of challenges the sector has. Working parallel, in parallel sense, we are going forward and there's nothing that is going to stop us. The sector at the moment, contributes to what's almost 2 million of the radio audiences come from the sector. So that clearly tells you that with no one being forced to listen to any station and with listeners spoiled for choice, I'm clearly convinced that it means that there is something that they're getting out of the radio stations that they are able to reach within their communities.
I'm glad that you touch on the concept or the issue of compliance in the community radio stations. That has been one of the thorny issues, particularly since last year's event where I think about 19 community radio stations were taken off air due to non-compliance. Could you just maybe from what you can take from the situation is, do you think that the current conditions or the compliance regulations are easily adaptable by community radio stations with very little background or not? Or would it be, are there existing challenges that it forces community radio stations not to be able to comply with their stated regulations?
I would say that the biggest challenge is that in most cases, in all honesty, I think that communities are not given the same opportunity as the other community radio sector. I'm ready to be taken on that point to say that it's very seldom that you hear that a station X has been closed because of compliance, if it's commercial or community. And I understand the capacity and understand the financial muscle that is required in order for one to have a compliance office set up in a particular radio station, ensuring that all the compliance issues are dealt with, the legal team that would make sure that the stations are able to get the regulations and interpret them in a way that they make sense to the stations. I think that it's just something. Remember, one of the biggest challenges of community radio sector, it is skills retention, and you find that every 4 years, boards are being voted out, you might find that at some point, one person who was, capacitated enough to deal with the issues of compliance in the board, perhaps needs to recuse himself, especially now with the issues of the CSD, of which is another challenge that we'll get deeper into it. And I'm glad that the Deputy Minister is here. She has been giving us a good ear to listen, so I'm sure she would continue doing that. So again, it's that issue, capacity building and lack of skills retention, that if Raymond has been a station manager of a particular station, and then he's now given a very good market-related salary job elsewhere, and when he leaves towards the end of that particular license renewal, what then must happen? So that's where then, as a sector, we still struggle. It is not a problem that lies only with us, but I think that is also a regulator to come on board instead of, because what we observe is that in most cases, instead of just being an agent of change, the regulator would then come in as a police. You've committed an offense and I'm now going to arrest you. So I think that's also a relationship that needs to change. And I think that's where the government, with its vision of community radio sector enshrined as part of the community, as part of the broadcasters, then can be able to play a role in making sure that instead of waiting for stations to not comply, we can actually get them to comply. We can engage in this because stations are facing different challenges. So the more you engage with stations, the more you'd be able to understand, perhaps even create solutions for now and for the future. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges that, high turnover, people are leaving, and when people leave, sometimes they leave with the wealth of knowledge that would have assisted the stations. Sometimes you find that because of lack of staff, we then find ourselves swamped with so much of the compliance issues because it is compliance, it's a license renewal, perhaps even 4-3 licenses that you need to renew. So the complex of issues that the sector is sometimes is faced with.
Dr. Panga, I'm not sure if he's online. Dr. Panga, Sekwane. Hello? Yeah, I actually wanted to pick up with him, particularly, you raise a very important point about the skills retention and what mechanisms are there to ensure that the number of people that we actually train in the stations don't actually move unceremoniously without having proper planning in the space. And I think it's the foundation. I wanted to hear from Dr. Panka on the interventions because central to this particular challenge is the fact that you aren't able to keep the kind of people there. And if we intend to have a regulated environment, that becomes a critical part of the problem. I don't know, Minister, if you could just maybe possibly switch on your video so that we can pick up on some of the points that were raised by Raymond with regards to regulation. Good afternoon, and thank you so much for making the time and joining us for this conversation.
Thanks, Sandy, and thanks to Mr. Mujapilu, Raymond. Good to see you. Panka Sekwane, I hope he's with us, and Isaac Musia. Thank you for the invitation.
Yes. So as Raymond was explaining, that there's been a challenge in terms of how the setup of community radio, they've been in existence for a very long time, and maybe we have idealized the idea of how they should be formulated or how they should be put together. Is there not an opportunity now to actually properly review the framework of community radio stations and how they're set up so that we then are able to then address some of the challenges that Raymond has highlighted with regards to skill retention, with regards to them being able to be sustainable in the sector?
Thank you very much, Zandi. I think last year, and let me also admit that when we came in as this administration, we really took the issues of community radio closer to our hearts. And not only now with Minister Ndabeni Abrahams, but the first intervention was done through me and myself and Minister Mukonyani. And it was during the time when CENTEC had switched them off because of non-compliance issues, which Mr. Mujapilu spoke to. And MDDA and ourselves and DCIS had to come together to say, what support systems do we need to put? That's one. Two, we also said to ICASA, you shouldn't go to community radios with salted whip. Let's look at the underlying challenges. And then if it's a regulatory framework, let's see if there's no intervention that cannot be done. And that's why we have the Community Broadcasting Service Regulation of 2019 as one intervention to improve on the licensing framework so that we enable a better evaluation for applications, because many people were saying we're applying and so on. But there was also the issue of moratorium, which was lifted as well last year around this time, 26th of July by ICASA. Now, over and above that, the invitation for pre-registration was also put in place so that people can start to do all those things, especially for community sound broadcasting services and radio frequency spectrum, so that people can do that pre-registration, so that evaluations and other things, when they are done, they know which areas they have limitations and so on. And that has been updated this year by ICASA on the 24th of January. So these are the kind of interventions that we have made. But we also convened a summit, which I did on behalf of government, with all community media, because some of the issues, I know we're focusing on radio because it's Radio Days Africa, but we looked at community media broadly and say, how do we bring in support so that the sharks don't swallow the sardines and so on? So we looked at the totality of things. And we even called the current MEC of Education, Comrade Banyaza Lesufi, with his experience in the media sector and so on. And there were issues where we also said, look, on compliance issues, guys, it's a non-negotiable. But where there are challenges where you guys cannot comply with CSD, put together your own body. And that time it was NCRF and whatever bodies that were there. And we said, Treasury may not be looking at these things in the correct way. And I'll give you an example, Zandi. If you are in Lephalale and the president wants to go and do Imbizo in Lephalale, Treasury would say for community radio, three quotations. And you need the community of Lephalale to benefit. So are you saying Lephalale must beat, Mulechi must beat, Mama must beat when the event goes to a particular community? So we said to Treasury, certain things on the CSD are not applicable, especially in the community radio space, because if there's an Imbizo in a particular area, we would want those people to maximize in terms of information and all other things that will be happening. So differently. But let's also, with MDDA, look at how best do we make sure that all of you comply from SARS, from all also picked up was in order you are not. So even consistency in leadership and all those things was also a problem, including communities not also owning up into a community radio station in the true sense of it, because it was Mujapelo and his wife and his uncle and his friend. And so on, they came together, and now they claim it's Bela Bela radio station. So we also wanted to look at governance issues and say, how also do we improve that? Because this is an important tool that assists our people to get messages broadly in their own indigenous way. I know the issue of retention has been a big challenge, but it has a plus in it. One, community radio is a breeding space for commercial and public radios. But also, it is up to a community radio station to make itself relevant and competitive. So those are the other things that we thought. Those are the other things that we thought. I saw. I'm no longer live.
No, you are live.
That we thought.
I can.
Oh, my video.
Yeah, don't worry. I can hear you.
All right. So those were the things that we thought, you guys, you know, it's like looking at an imaging company, it must always image. No, a community radio station must also make sure that it is relevant to its audience and it keep up with the pace and the competitiveness.
I'm glad you are highlighting the issue of growth within the system, right, and within the community radio space. But my contention with that particular idea, Minister, is that when you are in a constant position where you're constantly reconfiguring and retraining, the amount of human resources, the amount of resources that is required for you to train and retrain new entrants to be able to then continue with the progress of growth in that particular space is not properly supported, and therefore then inevitably makes stations obviously move one step forward and then 10 steps back. From the framework and from an understanding, because and I appreciate that there's a greater interaction with the sector itself to find out what are the challenges are. But as government, surely from the conversations that you've had with the sector itself, there must have been certain areas that you feel these could be like our low-hanging fruits that can be changed very quickly to try and transform the sector a lot more quicker, but also in a the sector to actually grow in the speed and in the manner that is envisaged. Minister?
Yes, Zandi. I've been missing you on some of the things, but I think we should look, you know, there are some of the things that are unavoidable. Upward mobility for any other person, that's one. But two, as community radios, the issue of innovation and creativity will be very critical to make sure that you attract the required skill, that's one, but you also retain that skill, including putting minimum requirements to say at least you should be able to save for a particular period. And that's why in most of the challenges that community radios face, you get more volunteers than people who can be able to be appointed and form part of the structure. One, precisely because they're unable to have sustainable income that can be able to attract those, but two, precisely because of those challenges, people are willing to volunteer and get exposure and do all these things and then later on move forward. And it says to us as government, then the funding model has to be looked into.
I'm glad you highlight that, but can we just, I want to find out from just hold that thought for a moment, because I really don't want to, it's an additional part of the conversation that I really want to get into, but I'd really like to just get your thoughts, Raymond, on the minister's assertions on the idea that you guys are not being creative enough to be able to retain staff that are able to then move forward the sector, and also what is it that you've been doing to also then try and address some of these challenges that she highlights.
Okay. Thank you very much, Zandi. Thanks to the minister. And I must then say that her office has been one of the listening office. We have had some engagements and we are happy that she continues listening to the sector. And I'm also not a very big fan of a pity party whereby we come here and we cry that we want. I think she spoke about the issue of CSD. Mm. You understand that many stations today are struggling because of the issue of CSD. I think it's a great concept. It just needs to be reviewed. One, as soon as you are a teacher or you are working in an office in a municipality, that already then turns as a conflict of interest in the, so you can't serve in the board. Whereas the community member, station, members of board in community stations, they're doing it voluntarily. And so it means that you're also going to need people who are going to at least offer some support with skills, with knowledge, and so on and so forth. And if you can't get those people to come and join, then you might find yourself now struggling because you don't have the necessary know-hows, because the people who have know-hows can't serve in the board. And with the issue of skills retention, look, it would take us a long time. We need to be frank about this issue. First, community radio stations sector today in the country is still a voluntary sector. You cannot then say you are going to compete with a station X that is a commercial radio station or a public sector. So now we are in a bittersweet moment. When Zandi is leaving the station, you are celebrating it because we feel the greatness that you have achieved to have contributed towards the one's growth. But that can come 3 months or even 2 months. And then I'm speaking from an experience where someone comes, join the station, do an excellent job, serving a probation, and 3 months down the line, we're like, you've passed your probation, now we want to get you into the station to start any particular radio station then comes. So in that space, skills retention is going to, in fact, be at a time where we say we have transformed the sector into a point where voluntarism, it is no longer a factor that much. Because you can imagine there are some countries like Canada where perhaps voluntarism is possible. At the age of 35, I can have a very good package and go and serve in a particular station with my knowledge, with my skills. But now the people who are volunteering are new graduates who are the stations competing for the same with internship programs. So it's just an issue that would need to be looked at, not only as the stations failing to retain them, but question is, how are the funding models? And I'm sure you spoke about it. Now, if you want to touch on the issue of funding, you'd remember that the idea of our government of today was to access to information. And access to information, it means that from someone in the CBD of Johannesburg to someone in the rural Eastern Cape or in Limpopo, whatever the province might be. So some of these community radio stations, they are now surviving in a places where economic activities is down to the ground. So how then do you say they need to be able to make this? And it's not impossible to do so. It is possible, but it will need two hands. And that's one hand of the station's administration, but the other hand is where then the government can come in. And
let me just interrupt you there, Raymond, right? You quite rightly speak about administration. And I think I'm picking up from one of the participants here on the chat, which is, I mean, I've seen it as well. I mean, as a former practitioner and somebody who's volunteered in community radio stations, you know, generally a lot of the community radio stations struggle with mismanagement of funds, right? And as Andre rightly points out, what mechanisms are there within the sector itself to self-regulate, right? To ensure that the mismanagement of funds and there is a law or like an ethical conduct that every organization that comes in or any licensee receiver is forced to actually abide by, where you then understand that these are some, because also, I mean, we can pass the baton to government, but I think it's also important for the sector itself to self-regulate and also come up with ways in which that they can assist the system and actually show the government and other supportive partners how organized we are and what is it that we envisage as a sector. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, correct. I must say that, yes, we've had member stations at some point being involved in such reports, and it's just a pity. But I think that what needs to be the biggest conversation is that how prepared are the communities that are being, you know, entrusted with a license? And some of this comes when perhaps one particular community, a grouping in the community, get that particular license. And then the next door to the very same, then there's another community coming in with, you know, another application for us or even a contestation. But I think that that also then tells you of the need for ICASA to do due diligence in terms of awarding of licenses. As the minister earlier on alluded to the fact that you might find that me and my wife are starting a radio station as a community radio station, only to find that that's not the case. So it means that due diligence needs to be made. And remember, the moratorium came because of the mushrooming of radio stations here, there, and everywhere. So now it had to be halted. So let's really look at that process. And yet, then the process that we have now, I think that is going to address some of these challenges, whereby we are going to have the pre-registration and the registration and all those processes to a point whereby we can be rest assured that the community. And as soon as that happens, I think it would regularize. But on the other hand, through some of the programs of the NCRF, it is to try and promote the issue of capacity building within the sector. Mm-hmm. It is to lobby support to ensure that stations are given the right tools. And when I'm talking about from the board to the management. The idea of community radio station is reviewed and revisited in a sense that when we are as community radio stations, we need to remember that we are serving communities, and the best interest should be with the community, not with the station members, not with the board, not with the DJs on air, but with the communities. And I'm sure the more we do that, the more then they will be able to participate, the more they will be able to engage with the station even better and even more deeper to what we are seeing now. Because you ask yourself, if they say they are in fights within the station, where is the community of that radio station? Because the license belongs to them and not people in the community, in the station.
Good question, indeed. So this is also another thing about the sector itself. It's quite fragmented, and there's many organizations. I mean, there is NCRF, and there is that foundation, and I think for us, we just want to have a sense of, when are you guys going to get organized? What does the foundation intend to do, and what is it? What is your contribution in the sector? Please switch on your microphone. I can see you, but your mic is off. Your microphone is still open, Dr. Pank. There we go.
I am now, all right?
Yes, you are perfectly
fine. I'm okay
fine.
Now.
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much, because I've been waiting so patiently, but I'm a big man anyway. And I just wanted to thank the Deputy Minister and then the Mujapilo there, my colleague, and then yourself, Auzandi, and then all people that have made possible this program to be alive. And then also want to send my condolences to Ntate Karabo Mokubela's family. Now, you're saying that we're living in a country of democracy, mm-hmm. and if we are going to have one an association that has one mind, so we'll be like a fixed-minded society, and mm-hmm. we need a flexible-minded society where we'd have various ideas and thinking, in the sector. Yes, I have been listening attentively, so keen to the Minister when she was talking about how the sector is being conducting, and then in the time of the then Minister Makonyani, and then on that day Mujapilo, when he's responding to a question of creativity and in terms of the sector. But there is one thing we've been looking at, the research. One, it has been done by Vets University Radio, in terms of community radio state of affairs in South Africa. But there is one element that has not been looked at, which is the volunteer that you are now referring to. But the main question is, the South African Community Radio Foundation is here to see to it that the volunteer within community radio stations are catered for. One has to look and ask for this question. Who are these volunteers? Why are they volunteer in community radio station? What are they going to do? Because you have been concerned about the skill retention. Why are they leaving the community radio sector? But for me, it's that the community radio sector has been treated as just a platform for training people to go somewhere else, and volunteers are not being registered. Volunteers are being just treated as an unpaid labor. The question is that Is it this cheap labor market? Are we saying community radio station is coming and passing? Are we saying people within the community radio sector cannot come up with creativity? So what we are saying now, we are so grateful that you came on board wanting to know about us more. We are planning what we call it South African Volunteer Award, which is going to take place on the 5th of December. We want to acknowledge and recognize all those volunteers that have been working, you know, being undermined, even in my own station managers. You see a station manager come with a double dagger beggar, and then a volunteer doesn't have even a lunch. And then when these people look at the station manager, they would say, you are just a volunteer. I'm a station manager, I'm the owner of the station. So us is to see to it that the station's volunteers are being registered. We are looking at establishing what we call it a community radio insurance group, whereby we will try to insure all volunteers that are working in community radio stations. Looking at what is happening during this COVID-19,
pandemic,
it has impacted a lot on a community radio station. And one would also like
to... Now, my question then, I think you raise very important issues, right? Minister, if you could switch on your camera, please. I just wanted to pick up on some of the points that are raised by Dr. Pang. There's an assumption that the community radio sector obviously functions as is without taking into consideration the actual volunteers themselves and the contribution that they make into the sustainability of the sector itself. And I think there's been, I think we're running the risk of having a particular constitutional rights being infringed on, right? As Dr. Panka rightly points out, the idea of cheap labor, the inability for the equitable recognition of volunteers into the community radio sector. What is government's take on that? Or do we leave it at that, knowing the kind of socioeconomic backgrounds that exist in the country?
Look, there's something that you touched on the fragmentation of the structures within community radio. They have to consolidate. And once they consolidate, they become many voices, but one message to government, and then be able to be assisted. And that's the message we said even during the summit last year. And I will give you an example. And I like what Mr. Mujapelo said, disparities within community radio station. Why is Bush community radio station doing very well? And why is Energy or Mulechi or all of them doing the way they're doing? I mean, I have been, and it was an unfortunate situation. But even before that, you know, Dr. Panka reminded me of one of our best guys that we lost in GCIS. This is one of the few guys who taught me community radio station and its capacity to reach out to 9 million people through GCIS, and may his soul, Karabo Makubele, rest in peace. I'm saying community radios have to be organized in such a way that even if the structures are there, it's NCRF, it's the foundation, whatever, consolidate, because you have common issues, and make sure that as you approach government, you are able to speak to things that are integrated in your needs, and we are able to look into that. That's one. Two, I know we were talking to University of Limpopo, VETS, and a few others to say, what are the training programs that we can bring so that there's capacity building, there's relationship between MDDA and so on. And unfortunately, when I was in the middle of that, then the new administration came in and I have to make sure that I support Deputy Minister Siweya on that because I still have the role of the public broadcaster. So we also need to look at that. But the other issue that I also said to community radios, learning lessons from Channel 408 of Parliament. Why can't community radios, because they are located in a particular local municipality, make local council life? And the municipal council, councillors, people are able to tune in, ask about their own ward councillor and so on, what is coming in our ward and so on. And the municipality is able to do media buying and this advertisements and this all those things. So and this has been one of the things I've been saying to them. Make local council meetings live and then see if you can't have from resources from municipality, including the CLD thing. You have CFOs in municipalities.
I mean let's be realistic. For that kind of outside broadcast to happen, the stations need to have some form of resources there. And primarily to that is the government's ad spend. I mean, we have been for eons been talking about how government should be supporting community radio stations and using it for advertising, and so that community radios can generate some form of income to be able to build that kind of capacity. You speak about the organization of the sector itself. But how do they organize when even the government itself cannot even keep to the promises that it has made provisions for in terms of increasing ad spend so that community radio stations can then build this kind of capacity to be able to do the kind of intervention work that you speak of about speaking about community issues at the ground level? Where does the buck stop? I mean, who then takes the decision to then say, okay, we are going to do this and so that you guys can be doing this? How do we keep each other accountable?
You know, one of the things that is my weakness with me, it's patience. Mm. I have been holding the hand of community radio. And that's why even now when I got this invitation, I said, I know I'm responsible for public broadcaster, but I have a sentimental attachment with this sector until I see them up and running. Because some of the things that Deputy Minister Siweya will be dealing with will also want me to rise to the occasion because I'm also responsible for the SABC. And I'm saying we really need to hold hands and make sure that certain things, and I'll tell you why. In some of the areas where there were challenges, we made municipalities to give community radio stations sites and space for free. So some are even located in municipalities. That's the intervention we have made, so that if there's any announcement, if there's any advert, if there's anything, the municipality and the community radio can be able to share on some of these things. So we can only do that much, but you know, we must teach our guys how to fish and not bring fish to them. So regulatory framework, we are responsible. Other doors where they say pinky push, they know, but Raymond, we push as hard as possible, but they too have a responsibility. And Dr. Panga, I think, you know, one of the best legacy of volunteers that I saw, I mean, if you look at Radio TEF, Radio TUT, and so on, that's where these kids learn more about community radio and so on, campus radio. And by that time, they are already alive. By the time they go to community radio, some of them are not brownfields. You know, in the mining sector, they will say you are a brownfield or a greenfield. Already they hit the ground running. Thank you very much.
Musia, so I'm happy that there's actually a practical example of a presenter who's moved up the ranks from being a presenter and now station manager to run the station. Just from your experience, how has that been, and do you feel supported? I mean, we speak about skills retention generally in the station, in the sector itself. Do you feel that you have been receiving the kind of support that could make you feel confident enough to be running the station? And has there been avenues that are readily available for you to get the kind of assistance that you need to make sure that you are compliant and run the station as profitable as possible to sustain it?
Thank you so much, Zandi. Greetings to the panel, Honorable Deputy Minister. A great pleasure to be part of this discussion. Yes, Ms. Zandi, I think it's a bit rocky road that I'm about to embark on. Looking at the foundation, I think the foundations of the community radio stations are solely a bit rusty, to say, are destroyed, in the sense of it's an NPO that is run by many voices. There are a lot of interference that is taking place, even if one is trying to drive the station into the right direction. But rightfully so, because it's an NPO. NPO, it's for the community. But now, when it comes to decision making, that's where the problem is. You see, most community radio stations, they spend almost about 70% trying to resolve squabbles and politics, inside politics. There's no time to implement, to capacitate the presenters, or even to take the station to the levels that they ought to reach, because of the foundation. And I will say the support is readily so, but because of the infights or of who's who in the stations, it's a problematic. And this is where we also need the ministers and our heads, maybe the foundations, to look at that more intensively. So, Hore, how can they help that there's one, we plug in one basket, not the predecessors, not the community trying to say, no, we also, it's our station. We want to be making decisions for the stations, Hore, and now not for the good, but maybe out of influence of some other motives, you'll never know. But I would say, should we consider the fact, even I hear the panel speaking about the volunteers, the lack of support, monetary-wise, I think if we fix the thing of saying community radio is a non-profit organization, it belongs to the community, wherefore everyone has a voice, as a way to say. It's like we are saying, everyone is pregnant to deliver a baby, but there are no midwives. So that's a challenge that I'm looking at. And I think we need, as the Deputy Minister said, they're going to maybe review or come up with remedy. I think that one is also key, to say we will need a body to be a decision-making body. Not everyone who feels that they are entitled, because it's a community. Now everyone, the community has a word, the politicians have a way, the church, so all those things, I think they need to be looked at.
But then I asked my question, isn't that your responsibility? Don't you want some form of independence to be able to make those decisions independently and then come with a consensus from that? So basically what you're telling me is that in your autonomy, you guys are struggling to get yourself in order. Therefore, you're making it very difficult for anyone else to come and assist. I don't know if that's the same thing that you're hearing, Raymond. From what Ike is saying.
True, because it's like it's a put down when one wants to rise to the occasion, because it's ours. You know the NPO, it's ours. There's no one who's to make a sole decision. We're not saying maybe we can count it as, we can say maybe 50% or 51% can be given to a certain a body, and say you run for 2 years. Maybe ICASA or the department can say a certain individual, a leading business leader in the community, You take 51% charge of the station, and then all the NPOs come in support. And then so that when it comes to decision-making, paying of the salary, the sponsors, the money coming in and accountability, you are the one to respond to all those things. But unfortunately, because it's ours, even the former or the predecessors, they will say, we still have a say in that station. It becomes bigger.
Interesting. Well, your final thoughts, I'm going to start, he's like just opened another can of worms. And unfortunately, I think I'm literally left with like 10 minutes. Maybe just as your closing remarks, I'll start with you, Raymond.
Yeah, no, time flies. Mm-hmm. One, there are a few things that the minister said that I will address shortly, but I must say that community radio sector, community radio stations, they are capable to run on their own. There's one mistake that we sometimes make, that when there's a challenge that gets so popularized in one station, as such problem, then it's painted as all the sector. And I think that's a wrong message that we are sending. At this moment, there are a number of stations. I mean, like there are provinces where when you get there, you find that the stations, I mean, the sector has been able to move forward. And one of them being Northern Cape, a very good example. That you rarely hear about stations having such problems. Again, now coming to my province, Eastern Cape, you know, you can be able to pull examples from where it has worked and where sometimes it needs to be revisited. One, you've got one station in Etala, in the deep Eastern Cape, where the station is working very well, and one of the supporting factor came from the fact that it makes business with government, and it is not requesting for handout. It has programs that the government are, so it's a customer supplier relations, and it works very well. So hence that I'm saying that the sector is not coming with an empty bucket saying we are requesting. The sector is saying let the 30% be used, because the stations have programs and the stations have a whole lot of inventory of business. So departments that are taking money back to the treasury because the communications budget is not being used, they need to be held accountable. And where the money is being spent, it means that as soon as we treat each other no longer as children and parents, but as customer supplier, things are going to change.
Awesome. Dr. Panga, your final closing shots, maybe just, I'm sorry, Raymond, just in the interest of time, I can see you have a long list and you're never going to be able to go through all of them. And I think you raise a very important thing. The relationship dynamics really need to change. Dr. Panga, from your desk, what are some of the, in like 30 minutes, you know, I mean 30 seconds rather, your final parting shots to the minister and probably to the rest of the panel about what needs to happen going forward to make the sector work a bit more cohesively and more sustainably?
Well, thanks for allowing me to give my closure. But I want to say we from the foundation would seriously call for the establishment of a legal platform where we can discuss the issue of voluntarism, because we are so worried about it. Because if you look at Sizandine, community radio is more voluntary related, it's more voluntary powered, whatever percentages we may even say. But for me, it's like some of the volunteer people that are volunteer are being treated, you know, shabby, which for me, some of the action are resonated with the mentality of slavery from the sector. And, you know, we may call, we need one body, we need democracy, allow space for every ideas to come in and all of those things. But I also challenge you, Auzandi, and the Honorable Minister and my colleagues to join the South African Foundation for the Volunteer Award of the Year, which is going to take place on the 5th of December. We need to support our people that are working, because the sector without healthy people can never be a healthy sector. We may call it whatever we want. If you work with people that are hungry, they will never come up with creativity. They will never do anything. Thanks. I don't want to take your time. I have more to talk. I need to say a lot. Thank you so much.
Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Sizandi and the panelists. If you look at the current crisis of COVID-19, radio is and will always be what the audience turns to, because they want to hear and upkeep with the developments about the pandemic. So what remains critical to all of us is that radio will not die, and not anywhere soon. All we know is that it is evolving, and it evolves in a very rapid way. We have not spoken about DAB, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and other developments in the technology space.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to keep up. Two, content remains key. How you attract your audience will be very critical.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, agility. And agility does not only refer to our radio stations, it cuts across. How responsive are we as industry to make sure that we keep up with our audience and the listenership? It's what is going to be very critical. Thank you so much to our panelists and everybody. And please continue to engage Deputy Minister Siweya and MDDA. It's very critical.
Thank you so much, Minister. Ike Musia, maybe just as your final parting shot, what are some of the key issues that you'd really want us to focus on, and now that you actually even have the minister's ear?
Mentorship should be a priority. We need to be mentored by public broadcasters so that we can know how they are doing things, that they take us as their baby sister, because we are doing the groundwork down here. They should look at us as a baby sister. They should, if there's a management issues, they should come and say, guys, we can train you to even the presenters, to so that they can be sharp on air. And another point is the minister should also help us to be accountable, especially when it comes to the money. Like in that day, my panelist also said, there's a money. The community should sustain itself. Just the mismanagement is another billing issue, whereby even the customers will leave the station because of mismanagement. So I think if there's accountability where the money is being audited, not after 3 years, not after 5 years when there's a AGM, but regularly as part of training our finance department, I think that can help us a lot.
Thank you so much for everybody for being part of this session. Thank you so much for making yourself available. Because thank you to the minister for availing yourself and being a servant and listening to all the parties that have been participating in the program. We also want to thank our valuable sponsors, AONA, NAB, and the Zetson of the department for this wonderful initiative. We hope that you enjoy the rest of the conference and that this session was insightful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Nandi. Thanks to everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining this Radio Days Africa session. Click to watch or download the podcast. That was the Radio Days Africa podcast, brought to you by the Vix Radio Academy.